the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. How was your week, everybody? How was your weekend? Did you have a rockin' 4th of July? I can't believe how time just flies by. Summer's like come and gone, right? Should I be the bearer of bad news? I don't think so. We still have about a month and a half left of good old the endless summer days. But, you know, California is the endless summer days. So y'all got it made there. And that's like Florida, too, the endless summer. Just remember this summer, we want to see you in the fall. So don't drink and drive. Don't screw things up there. If you're going to drink and drive and you want to screw things up, screw each other up and stay over at a friend's house. You hear the laugh. That's a familiar laugh. And you know who that is? That's Doc Tamra, you know, my co-host for quite some time here on Max and Friends. Well, Tamra's back tonight, and we got some good, juicy stuff to talk about. It's about sex and lack of sex, right?
Oh, Max, I love it. Oh, my gosh. Hello, everybody out there who's listening in. We have got some juicy goods for you guys. In fact, we're going to be informing you guys about a syndrome that's been happening for a while.
It is the Madonna whore complex, or the saint versus sinner, or the savior scum. And in the gay world, Sebastian Sodomite. What is it all about? Well, Tamra Bowman's here tonight, or Tamra Montana's here tonight. Y'all remember when Tamra got married at Zappos. Mm. So how's everybody at Zappos.com doing? We'll give them a plug.
Exactly.
But, you know, Tamra, we also have Todd. We have an author, The Long Hot Marriage. Todd Krieger is joining us tonight. So we got to say thank you to Jackie Jordan, because she hooks us up with some great talent. And he's coming on tonight, and he's going to let us know a few things, too, about his book, The Long Hot Marriage, and this whole syndrome and sexless relationships, Tamra. And there's so many. But before we talk about sexless relationships, let's talk about you. What's going on with you?
Oh, my gosh, Max. After touring all over the world, it feels like, I mean, from Canada, from the East Coast to the West Coast, talking about, as you know, it broke here on your radio show here about my children's book, Emerald Echo, The Story. I've been traveling with my husband, Greg, who wrote Unlock Your Heart Virtue. And we have just been doing workshops, divine partnership cruises, recovery. I've been doing recovery with sex addiction, you know, anything that relates to sex, Max. You know, I'm all over that. Being a human sexuality professor, you know, for 7 years, I just love the topic. I love healing. I love anytime we can bring what's in the shadows out into the open, to where we're free with our expression. And that's what I love so much about you, Max, is you are free.
Well, I am free. And you know what, Tamra? I've got to tell you, it's so true that we need to bring this stuff out, because you know what? Mm-hmm. People are in their relationships, they're suffering, and women and men are saying, why aren't I attractive to my husband, my boyfriend, my wife, my girlfriend, my lover anymore? You know, and I'm getting tweets right now. So people tweet me at Max Tucci. Thank you. I'm going to put this down because I just got a tweet. But tweet me your sexless sex life stories on Twitter at Max Tucci. So we'll bring them up on the air. But, you know, Tamra, it's sad because people are wondering, is it me? Did I do something wrong? Why doesn't my partner want to have sex with me anymore? You know?
And, oh, my gosh. And, you know, and Max, I can relate personally. I mean, I was in a sexless marriage for 10 years.
Wow.
And being a human sexuality professor after that, I mean, I really sought to understand or reconcile, how does this happen when you can be so hot and heavy in the beginning? And then once you say I do, or you've got some kind of a commitment, or children come into play, what happens? Why is this polarized experience happening to where somehow you are no longer the object of lust like you were in the beginning?
Well, Tamra, is there hope?
Oh my gosh, there is so much hope. And you know what? I think, Max, it's a matter of waking up. Just waking up, getting a new perspective. It's all about integrating all the facets of who we are. I mean, we're sexual Absolutely. Beings, we're mothers, we're queens, we're servants, we're all of these facets. And if you just looked at one side of the diamond, you miss mm-hmm. so many other facets that are available. Because like that Usher, that song by Usher that says, I want to... lady in the street and a freak in the bed. You know, being yeah. able to integrate those two is so powerful.
My grandmother used to say that. My grandma used to say, be a lady on the street and a hooker in the bed. Well, a whore. She didn't use the word hooker. She used whore. But you know, what I want to talk about is sex, and we're going to talk about that here tonight. We've got Todd Krieger joining us from the Center, from the Todd Krieger Center for Successful Relationships. And of course, my girl Tamara's here tonight. Hey, Tamara, mm-hmm. before we go to a song, how can people find your book and all your information?
Emerald Echo, you can go to Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Virtue, B-I-R-T-U-E, all one word, .com. And my book is there, videos there on the book, and very exciting stuff. And Max, who is one of my endorsers in my book, it's an absolute phenomenal book on forgiveness and on freedom and how everything has been in divine order.
Well, I love your book. And, you know, I got it for Lily, and I love being a part of it. Yeah. And I do believe in divine order, and I believe that where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. And all you listeners listening tonight, where you are is exactly where you're supposed to be. And I have added a new little attachment to that, that where you are, the fullness of God is. So I've got to say hi to Canella. She's tweeting us right now, and she says, with six kids, I can honestly say I don't have a sexless marriage. I can imagine with six kids. But you know what? I bet there's a lot of talking about sex in that relationship. So let's talk about sex here on Max and Friends tonight. We're going to do a flashback to one of my favorite songs while we get Todd Krieger here in the studio. And of course, Salt and Pepper. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me on Max and Friends. Stay tuned.
Drop it. But that won't stop it. Talk about sex on the radio and on the video show. Many will know. Tell it like it is. Tell it how it could be. Tell it like it was. Tell it how it should be. Go. Who think it's dirty? Have a choice. Change the station or
I wanna talk about it. There's just no way to fight it. Why can't we talk about sex, baby? We need to talk about
not all I want to do.
We had what? Controversy that really irked me. Yeah. A three-letter word I heard was a curse. So he made mean and have nice dreams. Cause he's 14 in tight jeans. To react like that is natural. But control it or that will get you in the sack in a very bad rap. Oh, sometimes it's like that. Are you ready or not? Cause here he comes. And like the dumb oops, he forgot the condom. As if he had some. But you don't buy them or even like to you, and now it's yours.
I wanna talk about it. There's just no way.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and you heard what they just said at the end of that song. I don't think they're going to play this. No, we're going to play this, and not only are we going to play it, but we're also going to talk about sex. Because you know what? It's time, people. It's time to talk about it. Here we are. It's 2012. It's not a taboo thing anymore, even though in some marriages it is. But what's more taboo, I think, is this Madonna horror complex and the saint versus sinner and Sebastian versus sodomite and the savior versus scum and the whole thing there. Where do we stand? Where don't we stand? Is your relationship sexless? Well, tonight here on Max and Friends, the intentions of this show with Tamara and Todd is to throw you back into a relationship that's going to make you happy, harmonious, orgasm, sex, all the good things about a relationship. And don't feel that just because the sex has died in the relationship that the relationship is dead too. Because we're going to explain to you tonight on Max and Friends how your sexless marriage or how your sexless relationship can get the spunk and the funk back in the bedroom. Welcome, Todd Krieger. Ooh. How are you?
Good. Good to be here, you guys.
We're glad that you're here. Awesome. Tamara.
Yes. I mean, now, Todd, do you think that part of it is just giving ourselves permission?
Yeah, I do. I think part of it is giving ourselves permission. I mean, look, most couples, they get together, most couples are real passionate, their juices are flowing, and then 6 months into the relationship, or a year into the relationship, it's inevitable that the passion starts to ebb a little bit. But, you know, that is not bad news. That's not bad news.
But why is it? Why is it that the passion fades or that the sex fades after 6 months or a year?
Yeah, I think what happens is, truthfully, you know, we all like, you know, we're all kind of passive. You know, if I want to watch a Laker game, because here I am, I love the Lakers, I don't have to do anything to get to be excited, right? It's just there, they're playing, and I get to watch it. If I'm in a relationship and I fall in love, it's the same thing. It's automatic. My hormones are doing all the work for me. It's exciting. It's passionate. The good news is, and I say this all the time, I've been doing this marriage sex therapy work for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I'm more optimistic now about the fate of couples than I was even 30 years ago. But the catch is we have to put more effort into it. So after the thing is, like I said, the first 6 months, a year, we don't have to. It's effortless. The passion comes naturally. We're curious. We take risks. And then we stop taking risks. We take each other for granted. But once we start putting some energy into the relationship, it can rekindle. I've seen it happen over and over again.
Now, Tamara, let's talk about sex. I just love that phrase, and I love that song. That was Salt-N-Pepa, everyone. Thanks for tweeting me and asking me what the song was. For all you new babies who don't know, that was a great song back in the day. But anyhow, so back to sex. You know, there's a quote that I heard. It's called, "Love and sex do not and perhaps cannot go together." Tamara, what is your feeling on that?
My gosh, you know what? I have heard that too. In fact, I did that in my thesis. I studied love and sex together. I think what happens is that there's early childhood wounds that when they're triggered, what happens later on in life, you systematically, even unconsciously, shut down those feelings. And that can prevent you from being able to integrate the lust and the passion, our God-given right to experience ourselves as juicy and luscious with our partner, and unless those wounds are addressed and there's vulnerability that is present and there's something that the other person places their hand on your heart and says, "I see you and it's okay, whatever it is, let's bring it up into the light so that it can heal, so that it doesn't prevent us from experiencing the intimacy that we're craving."
All right. Now, Todd, let me ask you a question. Say that there's a person out there who doesn't feel that they've been traumatized as a child, they haven't been molested as a child or whatnot, you know, all those horrific happenings when the mind is still young and then arrests them in that mind state as a child so that they don't know how to, you know, perform in life. Let's just say a person's had a normal life growing up. They might have had a little mishaps along the way, like everyone does. But then all of a sudden, they get married. They're in a relationship, and they're having the, you know, we all heard of the 7-year itch, but now it's come down to the 7-month itch. What happens when a man has this woman, a spouse, or whatever, man, a man, woman, when we got to be in the millennium here, in the century. But what happens when that Madonna whore syndrome complex comes up in someone's relationship? Why does it come up?
Okay, so now, from what I have understood through the years, is the Madonna whore complex really is more about what Tamara is talking about. That mm-hmm. we all get hurt, you know, we all get injured. But in families where there's been trauma or where there's a lot of black and white thinking and like things are really either all good or all bad, or really sex is just bad, or it's, you know, or it's used inappropriately. Those are the families where typically a person will come away with continuing as an adult seeing things in extremes. And there's even a defensive mechanism called splitting, where these people that come from these families where there is black and white thinking, or maybe were deprived as a child, they see the mother as all good, because a little kid doesn't want to see the mother as bad, so they see the mother as all good, but the part of them that's been hurt kind of stays underneath and feels and really sees people as all bad at the same time. And then the person gets married, or maybe the wife gets pregnant, and suddenly these feelings come out of nowhere, and suddenly they don't have any desire to be with their wife. And I think it's because of these old wounds. So that doesn't speak exactly to your question, but I think the Madonna whore complex typically is coming from men who have been deprived or abused in their childhood. Now, for the rest of us who maybe haven't been that traumatized, there's still a process where we can find other people more attractive. But I don't see it as the same problem. And I do think that, again, it's what I was speaking to before. We got to put a little work into it. You know, our partners got to take care of themselves. We can't expect, we are visual, us men. And so if a woman gains 70 pounds, the woman, it's not fair for her to be angry at the man if he's not turned on. I mean, we have to be real. But I think those are two separate issues. The ones that are really traumatized early, and it can create this split where the woman is, the wife is only seen as pure, and they only see the sexual person, you know, only the strangers could be seen as sexual people. And then there's those that we just kind of lose our passion because we don't have the role models. We haven't seen our fathers become romantic on a consistent basis. We haven't seen our mother and father learn to communicate through difficult conversations, which can lead to continued connection even through tough times. We haven't seen it, so we go into relationships and we do what we know, which is always, it's not really enough.
Now, you know what, for those of you, real quick, Tamara, for those of you who thank you for tweeting me, because I'm getting tweets right now, people don't even know about this whole complex. So I just want to Wikipedia y'all right now, and you can Google it yourself to learn more. But the Madonna whore complex is the inability to maintain sexual arousal within a committed loving relationship. If you want more, Google it there, because it's got a great paragraph there. The one thing that I disagree with, and I disagree with this with everything, is that there's not a solution. I believe every problem has a solution. There's nothing new under the sun. And tonight we're going to hopefully feed you some solutions, people. We want you to digest them, understand them, because just because the sex is gone or there's not there or the passion is lost doesn't mean you can't get freaky. So speaking of that,
I love that. I love what you're saying. And Todd, that's a beautiful description of that black and white thinking of growing up in a fundamentalist home many times. If we can imagine that when we're born, like say in a mansion, and we have all of these rooms available to us, and they have all these different labels over these doors, and one of them says adventuresome, our sexuality, our proper, our whatever, and we have all these doors, ways of being that are available to us. And it doesn't even have to come from trauma necessarily. It can come from society or from church or from, you know, your school or your teacher or whatever, saying, you know, don't touch yourself. That's bad. That's wrong. And what happens is that door, right below sexuality, if that door gets slammed shut, that's a part of you that gets closed down. And if a whole bunch of other doors start getting closed down, what ends up happening is that you end up thinking you live in a two-bedroom house that needs a lot of work. When the reality of the situation is you are a mansion full of experience that is human and is divine. And when you tap into your divine source and you go inside and go, what am I made of? What do I want to experience myself as? There's an opportunity. And that's why I was saying, Todd, do you think that part of it is giving ourselves permission? When we talk about it, like what you're talking about it like now, Max, we give ourselves permission to go up to those scary doors that may have cobwebs all over them. And you just start to creak that doorknob open and you're scared and you're shaking because you're like, how can I go and just screw my wife and my partner her like crazy and pull.
You know
her
what
hair
I'm gonna say, Tamara?
Pinch
with
her
that
ass and
and do your thing with that squeaky door. Get some lube on those hinges, people.
Well, I would recommend silicone. Yes, silicone
lube. Great. It's a great metaphor.
Absolutely.
I love this metaphor.
Yeah. And you just put lube up that door and open it up. And I mean, you can hear angels sing when you see a red light go on and almost like a disco opens up to you. And, you know, play that corny music, whatever it is that, you know, get your juice.
Yep. Get the Barry White up on the stage and get the bearskin rug ready. Get the wine, right? Do your thing. But you know what, Tim?
Yeah.
What I want to talk about is in that mansion, Todd, and I want you to address this. In this mansion that people live in, sometimes there is that basement door of cheating, okay? And usually Madonna horror complex comes cheating because you feel, and I know, and I'm going to generalize people, so if you're going to email me directly. This is not Tamara Todd saying this. This is Max Tucci saying this. Tweet me. But Italian men, I know for a fact because I am half of one and half Lithuanian.
Yeah.
But Italian men, when in Italy, I'm not talking about America, but the ones that I know in Italy that are married, okay, and they have children, their wives, the mothers of their children become revered, okay, everyone listening?
Mm-hmm.
So this is happening here. And when you revere these women, sometimes you can't treat them like a sexual object. So therefore, you look for one that you cannot connect with, that you don't have to give your phone number to afterwards, that you don't have to explain who you are. It's an easy sex.
Mm.
It's the 10-minute flesh sex. There's no spirit involved. It's the flesh sex, I call it. And what happens with this flesh sex, people, is that you become accustomed to it. So the Madonna whore complex is not that you're not into your wife anymore. It's that you're into the taboo-ness of the flesh sex, and your wife can give that to you.
Right.
So Todd, how can our wives, husbands, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends give us this flesh sex that we want?
That's great. Well, I have a book I wrote called The Long Hot Marriage, and one of the first chapters is beware of your perception of your partner. And why I called it that chapter is because we really have to be aware of it. So you're right. Certain cultures, certain religions, we have this black and white thinking, and people get locked in. So if we perceive our partner, if we put our partner on a pedestal, or they have to be pure all the time, that's a perception. If we haven't been too traumatized, even if we have been traumatized, we can start to shift. We could open the door. We could expand our perception of our partner. Suddenly, we have to challenge our perceptions. So the first step isn't even in our behavior or even our words. It's even in our thinking. We have to say, wow, I'm looking at my partner as this pure person. I got to challenge that perception. What if I were to see my partner as a sexual person? Now, at first, that might seem weird, and I've seen many couples where it doesn't matter what religion they're locked into, my wife's not a sexual person. So one of the things I do with the husband is I have him actually look at his wife and say things like, "Why, you are hot, you are sexual," and play with that perception, even though there's a part of him feels like he's pretending, but I call it real pretending. And the wife, at the same time, needs to maybe step by step, but start maybe gyrate in front of a mirror naked, and then eventually move in front of her husband and gyrate in front of him, and move into like that door, one of those doors in the mansion. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable and not stay in our comfort zone, because our comfort zone is what's killing the passion in the relationship.
Uh-huh.
So once we're willing to be a little uncomfortable and do it maybe little by little, step by step, suddenly we've opened the door. Suddenly there's this quantum leap. Suddenly the man goes, "Wow, you are sexual. I've been wrong about you all these years." But he had something to do with it, because he's starting to challenge even his own perceptions of her.
And then cheats. But why is it that, you know, they can, men or women, whoever the cheater is, can go and cheat on their partner and feel that it's okay to do that, because it's very animalistic, let's say, because it's just I'm having sex with just something and it doesn't matter, but I'm not attached to them. Okay. I'm attached to my wife, and when I'm having sex with them, it's just about, you know, the flesh sex.
It's safer in a sense, because he could play with the sexuality. He has nothing to lose. He's not worried about being judged. He's not worried about being seen by his wife. His wife means a lot to him. So it's easier to bring out his sexuality with some stranger that doesn't mean as much. I mean, that's one of the things.
And now, can we correct that?
Yeah. I the man in this example has to look inside, maybe get a therapist, work, and start to look at his fears. A lot of what we do is we're acting out to avoid a certain feeling. What is that feeling I'm avoiding? A lot of times it's fear, especially with men. You know, God forbid we should look at our wife and say, you know, I'm scared, you'll judge me. I mean, that's better than acting out the avoidance of that fear by having an affair. So that would be, a lot of men have affairs as a way of coping with their feeling of inadequacy. So they go have an affair to feel good about themselves again, rather than work with their
wife. Is it
wife.
To feel good about themselves, or is it just that they have lost that sexual curiosity with their spouse?
Yeah, that's it could be that too. There's more than one reason.
And
absolutely.
Yeah.
When, especially what happens, again, I say we have another role model, so we get kind of like lazy, and we get sexually lazy, and we start to see a partner as one-dimensional, and so we do lose our curiosity, whereas you go to somebody new, the curiosity is there. You have nothing to do. It's like me watching that Laker game. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's automatic. There's no work involved. The key to a long-time marriage is you got to do the work of asking the questions to yourself. What am I? Who am I? What am I feeling? And our partner, what's going on with you? What is your sexual fantasy? You know, I always say this, that even though I know we talk about marriage is, sometimes say marriage is a prison and singleness is freedom, I say marriage has certain freedoms. In marriage, you have the freedom to explore who you are, take some chances, risk, and most of us underutilize that freedom of marriage because we play it too safe.
I want to talk real quick about playing it safe, everyone. Thank you for tweeting me. Yeah, if you have kids tonight, maybe you don't want them in the room with this conversation just yet. So speaking about doors, close the door, lock yourself in. Thank you for that little note there that I got from listeners on Twitter. But I'm sorry, people, that I didn't put that disclaimer at the beginning of the show. But Max and friends, you know, we say what we want. So by now you should know that we can go from religion one week to sex to another to having Lisa Lampanelli here. So everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight. We are talking about sex, and we are talking about sexless relationships and the Madonna Whore Syndrome. We've got Todd Krieger and Tamara Montana in the studio tonight, and we hope that we are opening the doors. We hope that we are the lube for your bedroom door. That if it had a creak in it, we're going to lube it up for you, and we're going to help you get the sex back into your life if you feel like it's gone. All right, I've got to read this email
that I was sent.
I've got an email sent here, and Tamara, I'm going to let you take it first after I read it to you, and then Todd, I would like you to continue there. Mm-hmm. But we're going now to the gay aspect of this, which is known as the Sebastian Sodomite, which is different a little bit than the Madonna Whore, but I think it's all pretty much the same. Everything has a label on it, but when you break it down, it's saint versus sinner, savior versus scum. So the bottom line is this emailer is anonymous, so we'll keep it that way. And he's a 40-year-old gay man. His partner of 6 years suffers from a sexual dysfunction. We have only had sex with each other maybe 4 times in 6 years. He tells me he can't be sexual with me, though I know he adores me. To fulfill his sexual desires, he seeks out anonymous encounters. He doesn't want to know their names, often never speaking. He has done this hundreds of times while we have been together. I've never ventured outside this relationship. Let's go skip forward. I prefer to be intimate with him, to the act with him, but not with others. Any suggestions? Before I go anywhere, my one suggestion is, I don't care if you're 14 or 40 or 54, 64, 74, wrap it up. Because if you have a partner that's sleeping with 100 people, the last thing we want you to do is get a disease. So my number one thing is people play safe, have sex, have fun. But it is a responsibility that you have to take when you're having it with multiple partners to play safe, especially if you have another partner at home, whether it be a wife, a husband, a girlfriend, or a boyfriend. Wrap it up. Don't be dumb. So, Tamara, what do you say to this 40-year-old man?
Oh, bless his heart. You know what? And first, I just want to address, Todd, you nailed it. I think judgment is the culprit. It really is. It prevents us from being honest and open and vulnerable with each other. And just like we were talking about the in the basement, okay, that's really what you're talking about. I love that you brought that up, Max, because there's a part of men that it's easier for them to compartmentalize. And when you've closed off that sexual part of you, it is not dead or it is not gone. What it is rabid, and it's starving. And when you give it a little creak, a little tiny opening, a little window where he can experience some pleasure, he's going to come out like a rabid beast and go, and he's going to feel it. And then he's going to be so ashamed and come back into hiding, go back in the basement and lock it up, turn the key and go, okay, So I did it. I got it out of my system. Hopefully it won't come up for a while. But it is never gone. So here's what we do. And I love it, Todd, because you brought it up. You give that rabid beast, you give it a bone. It's starving. It's neglected. It's malnourished. You have not loved that part of you. Because if you love something enough, it will share its secrets. And you've got to love that part of you that God created, because it is exquisite. It is so intoxicating. Just like what Todd was saying, you're sitting in front of the game. It is there. The passion is already yours. Own it. So give your beast a bone. Start nurturing it. Start
or
loving
boner.
It. Start a boner. Well, hello. And coax the boner out. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Todd, what do you suggest to this 40-year-old man whose partner for the last, they've had sex maybe 4 times in 6 years? What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, you know,
besides get help.
Yes. Well, my first thought is that it's like the problem with affairs, whether it's in a gay relationship or a straight relationship, it does, as Tamara was saying, it brings up more shame. You know, every time we hide, do something in hiding, it's not celebrated. There's pleasure, and it's excited pleasure, but there's definitely healthy pleasure, and then there's an unhealthy pleasure, and this is shame pleasure. So the first thing I would say is if I saw this couple, or I would want this partner to recognize his how much shame is probably playing out. And there could be shame for different reasons. I mean, gay people sometimes have an extra shame because of the cultural ignorance that we live in, and they're affected by it. So there's a lot of times they're not out there celebrating. They're still kind of in the closet. Even if they're in another relationship, they're not really celebrating it fully. And so he's doing this other thing. And so I would say face your feelings. Look, what is going on? And let's see if you could bring your both your pain and your sexuality into the relationship and share and stop hiding from your partner. And there's a relationship between unexpressed pain and unexpressed pleasure. I don't think we're selective stuffers. So the problem with infidelity, whether it's a straight or gay relationship, is that oftentimes people are not really connecting even in their pain. Again, we haven't seen. How many of us have seen a mother say to a father, "I'm really angry at you," and the father leans over in the chair and says, "Really, honey, tell me more about that." You know, we don't see that kind of communication. So we have learned to hide parts of ourselves, whether it's the pain part of ourselves or the shame part of ourselves or the fear part of ourselves. And so I would want him to bring it to the partner. Now, the partner that's emailing you or Twittering, one of the whatever he's doing, you know, he's obviously betrayed. He's in a very tough spot, and he needs to set boundaries with this person. He needs to say, look, you know, I love you. If he's not willing to give up on the relationship, there's things you need to do. And I would say they need to find a good therapist, possibly. And this partner has to start to bring his feelings and desires into the relationship rather than live two separate worlds.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you know what, Max? I would totally agree with Todd in that removing the shame, just coming out and sharing your pain. And one of the things we talk about is that your pain is your credential. What you've been through, you've earned the right to help other people out of their tunnels of darkness. And so there is no shame in what you've been through. And to be able to be that vulnerable and say, honey, I am sorry. I am doing this, and I don't want to do it. And I love you, exactly like what Todd was saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's people out there hurting, suffering, and really, Tamara and Todd, I think, you know, with this whole craze, and I really don't like to bring it up because I don't think it's a book that's written in any sort of proper understanding. I think it's more of a childish writing. But it's 50 Shades of Grey. And, you know, it turns out, you know, there was always a joke growing up, and we heard this, not growing up, but when I was older. And it was, you know, whatever your partner asks you to do, you do, because if you don't, someone else will. And, you know, in the book with 50 Shades of Grey, it shows that whole aspect of abuse and torture and sex and beating and whatnot and so on and so forth. And I think when relationships need that extra spark, people don't know how to get creative. So they become, I think, overtly perverted. You know, there's extremes that people go through, and I'm not one to judge. If you want to get into it, get into it. Do your thing, by all means. But I think what we're trying to do tonight is help people who are in those sexist relationships get to a point where they can get a little freaky without getting scared. So what do we offer to them?
But, you know, the Fifty Shades of Grey, I mean, you can see how it's triggering something in people, right? That's why all these books are being sold. I mean, it's triggering something. So there is something about that book that's very exciting, and people always want to watch movies or read books that can express what they haven't been able to own in themselves. But the key is what we need to do is, you're right, we have to do it in mature ways and in sensitive ways. And it doesn't mean that we do things even if it makes me feel like it's not in my integrity. That if I'm doing, I don't think anybody should ever do something that they feel is not who they are. They're doing it just to please. It's got to be mutual. It's got to be consensual. I understand the whole premise of that book. You have this virginal woman and this very experienced man. But, you know, for all of us, we need to be willing to be courageous, explore, and communicate and be mature. And maybe it is, maybe people want to explore some of the stuff that's in that book. That's fine with me if it's mutual consenting.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of mutual, I want to talk about something. If it's not mutual, everyone, there is a number you can call, which is 1-800-656-HOPE, and that's a number for rape, and they'll help you there. There's counselors 24 hours a day. So if it's something that's not mutual and you don't feel like you want to get into it and your partner does it anyway, either call 911 or call 1-800-656-HOPE. Please don't call me because I won't be able to help you. So, because we talk about sex all the time, and all of a sudden I get emails and I am like, I'm not here for that, people. I love you all, but there's numbers like 1-800-656-HOPE. So moving along. Hey, Ronan, what's everybody listening to tonight? LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We've got Tamara Montana and Todd Krieger here tonight, and we're talking about sex, and we're talking about the Madonna whore syndrome. And tell me, Tamara.
And Max, you know what? I just want to honor you, too, because of what you bring out into the ether, out into the open, out into the world, is you bring a playfulness and a real rich quality of laughter and of humor, and yet a very sensitive side of you, Max, is just so concerned with, you know, if you've got pain, it's okay too. And I think that that's part of giving us all permission to just be human as well as divine. And I just can't thank you enough, Max, for who you are as a lighthouse or someone who holds up the torch of what's possible. And I think that when we all get in touch with our light within, I think it resonates when someone speaks the truth. And Max, you speak truth and you speak your heart, and it sometimes it's eloquent, sometimes it's not, but it's always playful and it's always inviting. And I think that if we get back towards that playful innocence that's on the inside of all of us, with ourselves and with our partners, there is an intimacy that is waiting to be birthed. It's almost like a flower opening up or unfolding right before your eyes. Otherwise, we stay up like these closed buds, you know, and we never really experience life, and we want to snuff life out before it even has a chance to blossom.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Tamara, for saying that, because, you know, I always try to be the beacon of light when it comes to heavy topics. And, you know, we really haven't done this kind of a topic in a while here on Max and Friends, but it's time. And what I say is, where we are right now is where we're supposed to be, and where you are listening tonight is where you're supposed to be. And if you're not listening tonight and you want to get the show more, what you're going to do is you're going to go to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. We've got the archives there. So if you missed any portion of this show or any show over the last 5 years, go get them there. They're there. And I want to tell you all, Tamara said a great word, which is intimacy. And if you break it down, it's into me see. Okay, people? So into me see. I want you to see into me. And I think that's what happens with this Madonna whore syndrome or the Sebastian Sodomite syndrome, is that you're not looking into your partners anymore. And I don't like the word partner because it sounds like your tennis partner, your lovers, everyone. You know, even if you're married, say you're my lover, because that's what you are. You're giving each other love. And whether it's sex or love, you're giving it to each other. So enough with this partner shit, and let's go with lover. I think partners are for tennis. And on that note, your lovers, everyone. You know, the intimacy, you got to look into your partners again. You're lacking that. Look into their eyes before you get them naked. And don't just go for the orgasm. Take a road trip and take a detour along the way. You know, the body is a beautiful temple that we have. And there's a lot of exploring that needs to be done. So find new points. And if you don't know where they are in your on your lover's body, ask them. Get back into them, because that's what the whole point is. Whether you're together 6 months, like I said, 6 years or 60 years. And people who are married 60 years, people are still having sex, so don't discredit them. But in all honesty and all sincerity, get back into your partners. And if you want to do the whole extra open relationship, talk about it first. Don't just assume that your other partner's cool with it. They might be, they may not be. But talk about it. Communication, like we're doing here tonight, will build bridges. But it's the lack of communication that's going to burn them. So, Todd, what I want to talk to you about is this whole phenomenon that we have going on with this Madonna. Is it a phenomenon?
Well, you know,
Madonna whore syndrome?
It's out there. I mean, I would say most people aren't going through the extreme of that, but it's out there. I've seen plenty of it in my practice. And I have to tell you, I loved what you just said. I love what both of you are saying. You guys are great. And what you were just saying about intimacy, I mean, that is really, really it. You know, I was just thinking about what I was saying before in terms of 50 Shades of Grey. The thing is to be able to pay attention to your partner. And not again, I don't think it's all about just sex. I think we get to know all about our partner. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the sex loving. The Madonna whore complex, the problem with that is it's very, like I said, compartmentalized. It's not loving. And we need love. We need to receive it as well as give it.
So, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you real quick. Yeah. You know, with the whole Freud thing and everything, do you think this is just another label, Tamara?
You know, I think we all try to make sense of what's happening. So it's the only way we have is through language of being able to identify something. Whereas when we go within, when we really listen to our hearts, I mean, sex for us, it can be like food for your soul. And it's the difference between, you know, just getting off, like, you know, it's the difference between having nachos versus a full course meal. You know, that serve to you. You know, yes, it's all good, but it's not all satisfying. So I'm saying, you know, look, if you're going to have an experience or a human experience anyway, why not have the full course meal? Why not solicit all the chakras? Okay, so you can have sex with just your lower chakra, but why not include your emotions, your intellect, your heart, your spirituality, your mental capacities? Why not mesh and engage and merge and swim and dance with the fullness of who you could be instead of just settling for crumbs?
You know why? Because people don't communicate. But Tamara, I want to do a show with you called Chakra Sex. So we're going to talk about that another time because that's a whole other topic. But people don't get that yet, but we're going to feed that to them. We're going to give them the honey before the steak, but the milk before the meat. But let me tell you, you know, here's the thing that we want to talk about, because, you know, we are getting tweets, and I love you all for tweeting me and for Facebooking me. I think it's great that we have this open dialogue, and, you know, you can reach me there at Max Tucci on Twitter. But let me tell you all, we are talking about this complex, this syndrome, this, I don't know if we want to go as bold as call it as dysfunction. But Todd, what I would really love from you is if we could discuss, and I'm going to ask you, Tamara, the same question after, but Todd, what advice do you give? All right. Right now, you've got this platform here on Max and Friends. There's people out there listening and they want an answer. And I know it's difficult to give them one, but maybe not. But let me know, what is an answer that we can give people, straight and gay alike, for this whole Madonna whore, Sebastian sodomite complex that they're going through? How can they get help?
Okay. What we have to do is realize that if you find that you cannot love the person, have sex with the person you love, if that's separate, you have to ask yourself, where have I been traumatized? Here's the problem is oftentimes we don't know what we're missing, so we just keep playing it out. So if you're in that, so I think it's like doing surgery on yourself. You need to get some help, and you need to get a qualified professional who has worked in the area of sexuality, relationship, and to look for what's been missing. Where have you been deprived? Once the person is able to take a look at that wounded place inside of them where they've been deprived, as Tamara said so nicely, shining a light on it. And once they start to realize where they've been abused, where they've been traumatized, and get the help for that trauma, then suddenly the doors can begin to open up. suddenly now they don't have to split and be so black and white about things. And they could have the whole thing. They could start to enjoy second, third, fourth, fifth chakra sex, like Tamara was saying. So get help. Look for what's missing. Have someone help go excavating with you in the mind, in your body, and just to take a look at what might be there and what you need to get. And then you need to get a prosthetic. Now you need to get out there and get what was missing. And you get it, you know, through your therapist. Hopefully the therapist helps you get it through your partner. And you start to open up. I think the biggest problem that people have in this situation is that they're truly not what I call healthily dependent. They don't really know how to be vulnerable and open up and feel loved deep down and to allow themselves to really feel pleasure from their lover. So, again, they compartmentalize and they have unhealthy dependencies, sex addiction or alcohol addiction or food addiction, rather than, chemical dependency, rather than healthy dependency. They need to learn how to feel loved and learn how to feel safe being who they are.
Tamara?
Yes, love. I think we need to get past the fascination of forbidden. I think we need to close our eyes and open our heart. And I was working with a young boy that was tormented by the fact that he masturbated, touched himself. He was a Catholic boy and 25 years old. And I said, close your eyes. Listen to your heart. Would the God of all creation condemn you for experiencing pleasure that he created for your body to experience? Could you imagine him condemning you? And he sat there and he said, and tears came down his cheeks, and he said, no, God would not condemn me for this. I said, then that's what you go with. Listen to your heart. Your heart knows.
Your heart knows. People, you got that? Your heart knows. I love that tonight we can talk about God, sex, straight, gay, and not have any, and just have an open discussion. Things are progressing here.
Amen.
Great.
Right? No, but you know, in all honesty, this was an issue that came up, and I said, you know what, people? We are going to get you answers, because that's what Max and Friends is about. My intentions are to help you all, and my intentions are to give you some fun, too. So that's what Max and Friends is all about. We've got the sexperts here tonight, author Tamara Montana, Tamara Bowman of Emerald Echo, and Todd Krieger, author of The Long Hot Marriage. Get both those books at Amazon.com. Support them. If you love them, support them. We're going to play for you tonight a great song called Future Love, because I believe that you all got your future loves. You got them. Even if they're your wives, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your husbands, they are your love, and they're your future love. And do what's right, people. Do what's right is all I have to say. Communicate. Build the bridge of communication. Don't burn it down by not communicating, because I think if this is a problem that you're suffering, the only way that you can get through it is to communicate about it. And if you don't want to go the route with sexperts or doctors or therapists because it's not your thing, then get through it with each other. Talk to each other. Love one another, people. It's that simple. But, yeah, this was a good conversation, y'all. Did y'all have fun?
Oh, my gosh. I love this. Anytime we're talking about the truth and it can resonate with someone else's heart and they're quickened to have a feeling of healing in their body and mind and soul. Oh, Max, how fun is that? I mean, just amongst the three of us here, I mean, this is ecstatic for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, before I let you both go, Todd, what do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy would be to send a message out that couples, we are just beginning to tap into our potential, that we're at the earliest stages of evolution, and that we need to just open up to the unknown and be creators and be trailblazers and have hope that we can have more enriched relationships than our ancestors. We're just at the beginning. Let's not lose hope. Let's keep going. Listen to shows like this. Learn and grow and be courageous.
Tamara, what you want your legacy to be?
Oh, my gosh, Max. For all of us to remember that we're whole and that we're perfect and that we're complete exactly as we are. Whatever, whoever we love, it's a beautiful thing. And never to condemn you now or ever for experiencing God-given love that is our birthright. And if we can shine the light on the fact that we are already everything that we need, everything that we imagine, we can let go of those dense illusions or fogs that cloud us, or like baggage that keep us from the love that we're craving. If we can shine the light on that, and if I can look at you and you can look at me and you can see that you are absolutely perfect, that there is no condemnation and that we're all free, I would be blessed to have that be said at my funeral.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we're going to say when you're alive.
No,
what were you going to say, Todd?
No, I just had such a good time with you guys. That's what I was going to say. You guys,
likewise. Likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise. Well, I got to wrap it up because I'm getting a little note here to wrap it up. Speaking of wrapping it up, people, if you're going to go and cheat, make sure that you wrap it up. And if you're going to go and have multiple partners, wrap it up. If you don't want to have kids, wrap it up. My point is... Trojan makes some great condoms, everybody, so use them, love them. And if they don't have enough lube, I'm sure y'all can go to a sex shop together and discover the wonderful things that are there. Tamara has a vibrator, but on the next show when we talk about chakra sex, we'll let you know about that. During the show, everyone, I said love and sex do not, and perhaps I didn't say it, but I quoted it, love and sex do not and perhaps cannot go together. I say that's a lie. Love and sex do go together. And you know what? Don't believe your neighbors. Listen to each other. Practice love. Practice sex. If you're going to have a relationship with someone else, practice safe sex. That's the whole point. And the number, again, everyone, was 1-800-656-HOPE if someone is giving you some loving that you don't want. That's called rape, people. But anyway, love you all for listening. And we're going to talk about a future love with Varsity Fan Club tonight on Max and Friends, because that's what the intention of this show was, is to give you all future love. On that note, take life to the max. Thank you, Tamara, for being here. Thank you, Todd, for being here. And I'm going to talk to you both after the show. Have a great night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
And remember, take life to the max. Future Love by Varsity Fan Club. Good night, everyone.